The Culture Map, Breaking Through the Invisible Boundaries of Global Business. Author, Aaron Meyer. Invisible Boundaries Dividing Our World. The vast majority of managers who conduct business internationally have little understanding about how culture is impacting their work. This is especially true as more and more of us communicate daily with people in other countries over virtual media like email or telephone. Culture has impacted your communication, how you understand one another, and ultimately, how you get the job done. Yet in the absence of visual and contextual cues, the physical presence provides, you didn't even recognize that something cultural was going on. These cultural differences may seem small, but if you're unaware of the differences and unarmed with strategies for managing them effectively, they can derail your team meetings, demotivate your employees, frustrate your foreign suppliers, and make it more difficult to achieve your goals. The World's Culture Map. There are 8 scales that map the world's cultures. Communicating. Low context versus high context. Evaluating. Direct negative feedback versus indirect negative feedback. Persuading. Principles first versus applications first. Leading. Egalitarian versus hierarchical. Deciding. Consensual versus top-down. Trusting. Task-based versus relationship-based. Disagreeing. Confrontational versus avoids confrontation. Scheduling, linear versus time flexible. By analyzing the position of one's culture relative to another, the scales will enable you to decide how culture influences your own international collaboration and avoid painful situations. Communicating across cultures. Good communication is all about clarity, and accountability for accurate transmission of the message is placed firmly on the communicator. If you don't understand, it's my fault. Being a good listener is just as important for effective communication as being a good speaker. And both of these essential skills are equally variable from one culture to another. Low context versus high context. There's what is known as low context and high context. In low context cultures, effective communication must be simple, clear, and explicit in order to effectively pass the message. The United States is the lowest context culture in the world, followed by Canada, Australia, the Netherlands, Germany, and the UK. But good communication in a high context culture like Japan is very different. In Japan, as in India and China, people use a different style of communication. One that depends on unconscious assumptions about common reference points and shared knowledge. If you're from a low-context culture, you may perceive a high-context communicator as secretive, lacking transparency, or unable to communicate effectively. On the other hand, if you're from a high-context culture, you might perceive a low-context communicator as inappropriately stating the obvious, or even condescending and patronizing. Strategies for working with people from higher context cultures. Communicating isn't just about speaking, but also listening. So when you work with higher context colleagues, listen to what is meant instead of what is said. This means reflecting more, asking more clarifying questions, and making an effort to be more receptive to body language cues. By searching for implicit cues, you can begin to read between the lines more accurately. If you're the one sending the message, you may find there's less need to repeat yourself endlessly when speaking with high context colleagues who listen between the lines. Before repeating yourself, stop talking. Wait to learn whether saying it once is enough. You can always come back to the topic later if you're not sure whether the message got through. Strategies for working with people from lower context cultures. Be as transparent, clear, and specific as possible. Show all of your cards up front. At the end of a phone call, for example, recap all the key points again, or send an email repeating these points straight afterwards. If you're not sure what you have been asked to do, don't read between the lines. But state clearly that you don't understand and ask for clarification. And sometimes it would be better to not be so polite, as it gives the impression of vagueness or uncertainty. Two styles of reasoning. Principles first, reasoning, derives conclusions or facts from general principles or concepts. On the other hand, with applications first reasoning, sometimes called inductive reasoning, general conclusions are reached based on a pattern of factual observations from the real world. Your habitual pattern of reasoning is heavily influenced by the kind of thinking emphasized in your cultural's educational structure. As a result, you can quickly run into problems when working with people who are accustomed to other modes of reasoning. Persuading across cultures. Effective leadership relies on the ability to persuade others to change their systems, adopt new methods of working, or adjust to new trends in markets, technologies, or business models. So if you're a manager of a team whose members come from a culture different from your own, learning to adapt your persuasive technique to your audience can be crucial. The best strategy for managers is to cycle back and forth between theoretical principles and practical examples. Provide practical examples to capture the interest of your application's first listeners. The principal's first participants will enjoy them also. But you may find the latter asking theoretical questions, and while you're answering them, the application's first listeners get bored. Ignore them for a moment. Leadership, hierarchy, and power. In an egalitarian culture, an aura of authority comes from acting like one of the team. While in a hierarchical culture, an aura of authority comes from setting yourself clearly apart. Take a simple example like riding a bike to work. Task-based versus relationship-based cultures. If you're from a task-based society and are hosting people from a more relationship-based society, put more time and effort into organizing meals to be shared. During these meals, spend time getting to know your collaborators personally rather than discussing business. And if you're visiting a relationship-based culture, don't mistake a long lunch for a waste of time. If you use this time to develop a personal connection and a little effective trust, it may end up being the most important part of your business trip. For those from relationship-based societies who are hosting task-based guests, don't throw out the socializing altogether. Organize a one-hour lunch, which they will most certainly appreciate. But if the meal is likely to stretch on to 90 minutes or longer, explain this in advance, and feel free to invite your task-based colleagues out in the evening. But if one of them chooses to go back to the hotel to get some rest or catch up on emails, don't take offense. Choose your communication medium. In today's global business world, not all relationships provide the opportunity for face-to-face sharing over a meal. A lot of trust building must take place long distance. Most of us send an email or pick up the phone without giving culture much thought. However, putting a little effort into the choice can help tremendously when you need to build trust with your globally dispersed colleagues. If you're working with people from a task-based society, go ahead and choose the medium that's the most efficient. But when working with those from a relationship-based society, begin by choosing a communication medium that's as relationship-based as possible. Instead of sending an email, pick up the phone. Better still, if you have the budget and the time, take the trip. Cross-cultural perceptions of time. Scheduling is a state of mind that affects how you organize your day, how you run a meeting, how far you must plan in advance, and how flexible those plans are. Yet what's considered appallingly late in one culture may be acceptably on time in another. The scheduling skill is profoundly affected by a number of historic factors that shape the ways people live, work, think, and interact with one another. If you live in Germany, you probably find that things pretty much go according to plan. Trains are reliable, traffic is manageable, systems are dependable, government rules are clear and enforced. You can probably schedule your entire year on the assumption that your environment isn't likely to interfere with your plans. Meeting is like waiting in a line. In a linear time culture, all parties attending a business meeting share the assumption that a meeting should look like a line. Accordingly, an agenda is set out ahead of time explaining, in the form of a list, exactly what time the meeting will start and what subjects will be discussed in what order. Sometimes an actual number of minutes are allocated to each topic so that the meeting can end at a preset time. If an attendee should try to hijack the meeting by bringing up some topic not found on the agenda, one linear time participant is likely to interrupt saying, "This is not on the agenda, so let's park it until another time." What's more, people shouldn't be taking cell phone calls on the sidelines. The group will take scheduled breaks, so don't leave and re-enter the room. For those on linear time, any behavior that distracts from the predefined task at hand is just plain rude. But a meeting in a flexible time culture is more like a tree. An agenda with a meeting start time and a topic will probably be circulated before the meeting. This will serve as the trunk of the tree. But there's no expectation that the meeting will progress in a linear manner. What seemed like a priority when the agenda was crafted isn't necessarily the priority right now. So discussion may branch off in a new direction. Other branches may spurt out, as some members have phone calls that take time in and out of the meeting. Or subgroups may form within the room to discuss subjects linked in some way to the main meeting trunk. In flexible time cultures, the most productive meetings grow in unpredictable ways, and the effective manager is flexible and professional enough to capitalize on priorities and changing needs as they arise.